Hi, and welcome to the Data Engineering Podcast, hosted by Cynthia. I'm Jason Gould. I'll be looking after the discussion every week. We'll cover a host of topics like DevOps and tooling, programming languages, and strategies, and all that kind of stuff. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you enjoy it. Hopefully, we'll catch you next time. Hi, and welcome to the Data Platform Podcast. This is episode 3. With me today, as always, I have Tomo, and I have a guest with me, Ivan Zeko. Tomo, do you want to introduce yourself?
Yes, my name is Tomo, and yeah, I'm your permanent guest in this podcast series. I'm a Chief Data Architect in Cynthia.
Hi, everybody. My name is Ivan Zeko, and from recently, I'm a Senior Data Engineer in Cynthia.
Cool. Welcome, guys. So, thanks. Today's topic that we want to cover, I believe, is going to be message platforms. What they're about and how they work and why you want one.
My favorite topic. Cool. One of the favorite topics.
Yeah, messaging platforms. Well, it's a topic where, I can say that my whole actually career in this data engineering world actually started from that point. It was basically my first task to actually research one of them, and in particular it was like Kafka, I believe. And yeah, from that point everything started to go around it, and it allowed me to actually explore the whole world of data engineering. So yeah, in the beginning, I hadn't had much idea what actually it is, the messaging platform. But yeah, later on, I realized that a whole bunch of stuff is actually dependent on it, and it allows us to actually to work to integrate a lot of different kind of platforms around it. Basically, what allows us is to have some kind of inputs from one side, which can be like streaming sources, or event-driven sources, or some kind of batching process, and it allows us to have a single place where we can actually take the data and deliver it to the multiple different targets. So yeah, basically you send it once and then you can deliver it as many times as you want.
Very cool. So, Tom, it was just... So, I'm going to say Zeko because we all call him Zeko, and it just feels really weird calling him Ivan. So, Zeko's like obviously explains a little bit from a technical perspective what a messaging platform is.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's the business benefit? Why would we use one?
Well, I can give you architectural overview, and then you will take out the business effect on it. No, but for real, the thing is that... Again, I'm going to mention that unholy word, middleware. And messaging platforms are actually the future of middleware. They're used for decoupling integrations, and they're used to kind of eliminate point-to-point integration way of thinking. That was usually a big technical creator of big technical debt in whichever integration system you worked on. Big companies and not so big companies, middle-sized companies, are developing through acquisitions of new business or starting new businesses, and at the same time they're generating this heterogeneous environment which needs to be integrated in some way. In the past, you would either use some Oracle or IBM based componentry like enterprise service buses and such things, or TIBCO or something like that, and then you would develop your integrations there. Those systems worked, but they were highly dependent on the technology, and they weren't as open as the new wave of message platforms are. And I think that Kafka is actually the most important one, because after Kafka a lot has changed. And because before you had these small message brokers that could be distributed, that could work on publisher subscribe model, but none of them had the robustness and persistence and isolation level of each transaction or message as Kafka does. So for instance, you know, Kafka has at most once delivery model, at least once delivery model, exact once delivery model. All those models are very hard to find in other brokers. Mm-hmm. And this is, I see, I mean, we are mentioning Kafka a lot. I think it's okay because it's open source system. But I don't think Kafka is the end of the story. I think it was the like maybe not the beginning, but it was something that everyone could consider as their technology choice for integrations. And now the business part, well, you as a business, as a growing business, you don't have to worry. I mean, if you're a CIO or CTO, you don't have to worry anymore. How are you going to distribute the data throughout your company, or how are you going to distribute it throughout all the consumers of the data that need to have data at the right time at the right place? And of course, it's super cool that mostly those platforms are open, so you can combine them with processing engines. Yeah. For instance, exact ones delivery is extremely important in systems that can't handle duplicates or won't handle duplicates, the system that actually need to be very aware of the data. And this is something that in the whole architecture of message platform, you achieve it with the consumer, with the consuming system, which is great.
The first one that pops off my head there is obviously financial transactions.
Exactly.
You only want them delivered
exactly
once.
I fully agree with you. And at least once, which is even more important.
Yes.
So yeah, I mean, message platform will handle that for you. But yeah, at least once is also important as exact once. But it's not the, you know, with smart consuming, with smart offsets, with streaming engines like Kafka Streams or Apache Beam or something like that, Spark Streaming, you can actually handle the transaction in an offset and send the acknowledgement at the moment that you process the transaction. So I think it's a message platform. I can't actually design some kind of integration model without thinking first, what message platform am I going to use?
I mean, we see this obviously a lot in our world. Mm. We're a data engineering company here at Syntio. So, you know, this is a big part of what we do. And we've mentioned Kafka a few times. I know that, you know, every sort of cloud platform now has at least one type of messaging platform built in, and there are a whole bunch of others either based on Kafka or, mm-hmm. you know, based on IBM MQ or a few others. You know, Zucker, what do you think are the sort of main differences between them? You know, what makes one better than another for a particular use case?
Well, it really depends because, well, mainly if you are working on a cloud, you will be bound at least for the technology that's available there. So if, for example, GCP provides PubSub as a part of, like, as a service on their cloud, so logically you would use it if it's also, like, cost efficient and everything, you would use it as a service there, and not even, you don't need to have any worries around who's going to manage it and everything else. So basically you have a service that's already available, you just need to click a few clicks, is just few clicks you can basically deploy everything and have it ready to receive messages and consume it wherever you need. And again, a lot of other services is also built around that. So the other services in GCP are counting that you might want to use a PubSub, and they have, like, already connectors available. So a lot of stuff can be automated out of the box, which is quite a good thing for some, probably some companies that are just going into it from that point without any previous experience. And yeah, I would say that the biggest benefit would be that. So why you would choose something rather than the other. But again, you will maybe notice some kind of drawbacks around some kind of messaging platforms, which are usually quite case specific. So if you have a case where, you know, features of the PubSub are not enough and you need something more flexible than the PubSub itself maybe, and you want to have more control over some stuff and you might want to switch to Kafka for that kind of reason, then again, you would have a bit more trouble deploying it, like finding the resources and everything else, but eventually you can achieve that. And it could be one of the reasons why you want to switch to the other messaging platform rather than the one that's already available along with the cloud.
But for, so for most use cases, then much like most managed services, for 95%, 99% of the use cases, the one that the cloud provider provides will be more than good enough for the task you want to do.
Yes, because they're counting on it, and all the other services are probably, you know, developed in such a way that features that that messaging platform provides would be just enough to actually use the other services along with it.
So if we take GCP's PubSub as an example then,
yes,
and I want to do analytics, I'm delivering into an analytics platform, then there would already be a connector for BigQuery, for example.
Yes, exactly.
So you don't need to write one yourself.
Yes.
Very cool.
Yeah. And I would also add that, data integrations and analytics are also one of the consumers, most important consumers for messaging platform. But also some of these services like PubSub, which is actually, you know, the broker is hidden. You don't have to worry about broker. You don't have to worry about the service working. You just use it, which is great. But with push mechanisms that are also implemented with push subscriptions, you can also enforce an event-driven architecture, which I think is the second most important thing after the integration that kind of, you know, enables you to produce the data once and consume it as many times as you have subscribers. But also it's very important that you can automate the execution of your workflows with event-driven architecture. So if your message broker has a push, use it.
Hmm. And actually, that was a topic you sort of mentioned quite on, and I was going to sort of speak about event-driven architecture, because obviously if you're event-driven, you're much better able to react to what's going on in your organization. But you also mentioned decoupled architecture. And obviously for somebody that background in big enterprises and everything else, actually one of the most painful things you need to go through is dependency management and everything else that comes with long chains of systems performing activities for a customer journey. So how does a message broker decouple your system?
I think that, message brokers decouples it in a true spirit of middleware component. It actually stands in the middle, and you only have to treat it as the endpoint and a subscription. So whatever system you have producing your data, you just have to connect it to a topic or to a broker instance or to an endpoint, start pumping out the data. And if your message platform is good enough, if it's scaled in a good way, if it's architectured properly, it can handle it. And again, you can use whichever processing engine you want as a consumer. You are not bound to one. You're not bound to writing Java consumers. You are not bound to hosting your applications on one system, one platform. You can just consume it with whatever you want.
So, right, using the right tool for the job.
Exactly. For whichever case you have. But what I see as one of the biggest benefits in decoupling is that, you know, if data is being published from source system to a message platform and I need to develop a mobile app, I just, tap in. And I don't have to use the technology that is hosted on integration server, on message platform.
And you actually don't need to go back to the source system to make a change.
No,
you
of
can
course.
Just read directly off the message broker without
exactly
putting a change request in.
Sure,
so,
of course.
So that's proper decoupling in my mind. It's super important for me to have that decoupled state where you remove the management of dependencies in an organization, because that's very expensive and time consuming.
Exactly.
But actually then to just be able to start consuming messages, you know, without any worry at all of scheduling and all that kind of stuff, for me is a huge benefit.
It's a huge benefit. Yeah, I agree. And it's also extremely important that, you know, these platforms are usually a good foundation for building some kind of a controls, which are not impacting either publishers, either producers or consumers of the data. For instance, Schema Registry, as one of the biggest ones, you know, something that you can put on top of your message platform to check the schemas for messages and to notify the consumer that structure has changed.
Okay. So if I think about what you're sort of saying there is that as a data provider, as a data publisher, I don't necessarily need to tell everybody or even schedule in on this specific date we're going to change the structure of the data coming across.
It is nice that you announce it through the APIs. No, it rarely happens, unfortunately. Yeah. But it is a nice practice, you know, the most of schema registries that are available on the market, unfortunately there is not a lot of them. They all have the API exposed that you as a publisher should use to register a new schema. But if you don't, there are some solutions on the market that can recognize that you changed something and check the structure.
And tell the subscribers.
And notify the subscribers and even evaluate the new structure into the consuming protocol that they have.
Cool.
I mean, it's super cool.
Then if I was to look at it from that perspective, using a publisher with a schema registry that does the notification or even, as you say, changes the structure, gone are the days of making a change on a source system and every downstream system breaking.
Yeah, unfortunately, those days are still here, but hopefully they're going to be gone in a couple of years.
Cool.
It should be something that everyone should think about when designing their integration layers.
So, are there any cases that you can think of where a message broker is just not appropriate for use?
Hardly. I mean,
it's not a trick question. I'm genuinely, curious.
Yeah, I mean, even though if you don't need it, I see it's a good kind of preparation of like thinking ahead, basically. Where you never know if you're gonna need that kind of data for some kind of other purposes, and if you store it already somewhere, then I mean you can consume it from there and everything. But if you're gonna build some kind of system upon that, it's always good to have. If you, for example, you delivering currently now the data into the database for later analysis and everything, but if you want to process something immediately there and have it streamed to the other source, to the consumer directly, to be able to see stuff and everything, you can just simply attach another consumer part and on the existing message that already exists in that messaging platform, and simply, you know, stream it in two different ways without affecting one of the other. So I think it's a good preparation for if it's gonna happen something that you need that data somewhere else. It's good thing to have a messaging platform in between.
Because at the very minimum, if you extend that service,
yes,
you're already working in a decoupled way.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So the simplification of actually doing the engineering work on all on its own and that dependency removal is
yes. And what Tom exactly said, like when you take in consideration this kind of schema registry and stuff that's going to help you to build more reliable platform for sending messages from one point to the other, you are basically eliminating a lot of points of failure in that kind of way. Well, because this kind of stuff where schema changes and stuff like that, you cannot fully prepare the consumer part for that kind of stuff, and having something that's going to validate those messages and, you know, redirect them to other way without affecting the whole exchange system, it's a good thing to have and to alert the whole messaging traffic will still continue to go on with the part where it's going to notify you that you have several one or I don't know hundreds of messages that are not that cannot actually fit to the table or target system that you specified it to put, and then you can adjust to that kind of change and without affecting stuff that's already maybe in production and stuff like that. It could be a lot of, you know, it can save a lot of money and everything. In such a way.
Right on the point. If you take just one simple scenario and let's say that I'm getting the data from some system, I'm enriching it, I'm doing something with it, storing it into a database. And now you came to me as a new subscriber, as a new consumer of the data, and you say, I want to you to expose the API toward me. And then you're going to use it in request response way, and in 2 week time I will be building a new backend for you. This way I could just serve it in a topic, you would get data instantly, and you could process it in a way that fits you the best.
So then my next question on this is that, you know, well, actually I have two questions that are quite important to me. So my first one is, you know, obviously in a typical point-to-point way, we have data stores, databases with all our historic data in. When we move to a message-based system, and a lot of these systems led to, you know, you read that message and then the message is gone. How do I go back through my history? How do I look at, how do I query what happened last week?
You can always use messaging platforms to actually have another consumer part which is going to actually store it in some kind of way, like using some file system where you can put the data, and later on if you need some kind of record that you want to go through again, you can simply go to the storage and simply go through it and find the record that you actually looking for.
So basically what you're saying is that a traditional tabular database could actually just be another consumer of the message.
Sure.
Obviously not quite maybe that straightforward. But
yeah, sure. Why not? I mean, I would use document database or some kind of a distributed file system, which are now available in the cloud. Even, you know, okay, I maybe wouldn't use HDFS on Hadoop, but I would use all others. And I think that just creating a new subscriber that would store all the raw data and keep it available through a simple search API engine. I mean, that's it.
Yes, it's more cost efficient and everything.
Simple.
And like, if you don't need that data directly, then yeah, why not?
You'll need it one day.
Yeah, you always need it one day.
Yeah.
So then my next sort of question on this is that, so I'm a big enterprise. I've been running for a few years, and I have a whole, I love the idea that I can start to decouple my systems using a message broker, because the vast amount of the time I take in actually doing engineering is not doing the engineering, it's managing everything. So that stuff doesn't break when I deploy new stuff. How does a message broker help me? How do I get my events from my 20-year-old system that I have onto a message broker in the first place?
I would say, firstly, you would need some kind of API available to actually pull the data from it. So having so messaging platforms like provide their own kind of libraries for such kind of stuff, where, for example, in some kind of messaging platforms, you will find the connectors that are already available for that sort of stuff. But it's probably built around some like most popular, you know, tools and stuff like that. If you cannot find it there, or if it's maybe too expensive to use such a kind of solution, you can always write one yourself. So basically, you can write the application which is going to go to your system, pull the data that you want, and just simply publish it to the messaging platform that you're using. This kind of publisher subscriber pattern is across all the messaging platforms, which is basically a necessity to have. They will provide probably libraries, frameworks to actually build your own publishers and consumers, which can function in any way you would like them to function. So you can even process the data before publishing it, you can filter it if you want before publishing it, you can maybe publish it, then filter it and decide what you're going to do with it. It's hard to specify the boundaries that you exactly. Have with this, such a kind of approach. And basically, whatever way you picture it, you can build it.
And there's also the controversial topic of putting the broker inside your application.
Oh, wow. Which so, then, so what would you do that for?
In that way, you would couple your application logic together with the broadcasting logic, with distribution logic. But then you already have the most efficient way for consumers to tap into your logic, into your data.
So interestingly, that would be both quite a secure system and incredibly quick.
Exactly.
So I'm talking, my first thought on this is I go to sort of financial trading platforms and things like that. And actually, if I sort of like look at back through my history of working on those kind of things and the lack of anything sort of remotely looking like messaging at the time, and if I then look at what we have available for us to do these days, gosh, I would work in a very different way.
I also think, often I think about the, industrial solutions in the electronics, in the getting the data out of the some kind of sensors or IoT. And then, when you build something that collects like a data collector pattern, then you are immediately becoming the broadcaster or the distributor of the same data. Which, with SCADA systems is not possible, because one SCADA system comes on several thousand signals, but it only interprets those signals. It doesn't broadcast them further away. This is also one thing where I see a huge, huge, wide field for small message brokers, because they're also available to be implemented as a part of the application logic.
I mean, when I look at sort of, modular systems, and you think to yourself, actually using message brokers to shift stuff around with inside the same application is a really good way of putting barriers within your system.
Exactly. And then you do not care about the state of the data. There is no begin and final state of the data, because whatever, if you need someone to get your data in a raw state, unformatted state, you just publish it to an instance of a broker in a topic. Mm. And then after that, you do something for yourself with data for your own purpose. And then you can also publish that. It doesn't cost you a lot. And then in the end, you can again publish. So in one workflow, you can have three different states of data, and you can enable like the whole network of other consumers, which brings us to the concept of event mesh. Mm. But it's a huge concept. So everyone listening this podcast, look for it. It's quite interesting.
And this will probably, I would imagine that this will be a topic all on its own at some stage.
Definitely. Yeah, definitely.
I mean, I know it's in a lot of places, it's conceptual more than anything.
It is. But it's super interesting. I think that, especially if you have a huge organization, you have a lot of legacy systems, you have a lot of different systems that need to exchange their data in real time or in near real time, almost real time. And for that, you really have to build a new layer of data sharing. You can't share it anymore with direct integrations between databases. It just kind of, you're just digging yourself a hole.
A dependency nightmare.
Yeah, dependency nightmare.
Spaghetti.
Yeah, and you can't actually, you can only help yourself for a very small amount of time. It doesn't lead anywhere, unfortunately.
So, obviously this is a topic for me. It sounds like that for our listeners and our customers and everything, that message brokers are something that's going to solve a lot of their technical problems. Actually, also sounds like it solves a lot of business problems.
Yeah.
Which obviously, is why we try and do tech stuff anyway, is not to solve tech problems, but to solve business problems.
Exactly.
The unfortunate side effect of growth of the tech industry and how quickly it moves is that today's solution often becomes tomorrow's problem. Mm. But by using that decoupling, as we've spoken about, I don't see actually how a message broker for a while at least, becomes tomorrow's problem. I think actually it's solving a lot of tomorrow's issues.
I mean, it doesn't affect producers and consumers of the data in such a way that it would couple them together and then become a problem. It kind of separates them.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's super. And but there's also one thing that I would like to say about the messaging platforms. Some of them have persistence layers, as we mentioned in the beginning, the at most one, at least one, exact ones. All the logic for you to be able to consume in such a way depends on some kind of a data persistence. I would advise everyone to not go crazy on that and to not treat, for instance, Kafka as a database. Although, I mean, you can do it, but there are some things that I don't think it's good, because you know the whole idea of these message brokers and publisher subscribe models is for them to be agile and quick. If you're going to use your cluster not for distributing the messages, but to search message, store message, look for them, filter them out. I mean, all these features are available and it's super. Sometimes it helps a lot in certain use cases, but don't go crazy with it. This is just my recommendation based on the experience.
And going crazy with technology just because
we because can, you can
is not something the tech industry is guilty of at all, is it?
No. Yeah, exactly.
Cool. Is there anything else you guys want to add to this? Anything we've missed? Any particular thing about message platforms?
I have one question for Zeko.
Go. Cool.
So how do you feel about developing? I mean, I know that you work a lot on message platforms. How do you feel on developing on message platforms? Do you find it
friendly environment? I would say extremely fun experience.
Okay, super.
Yes. Because these kind of stuff, libraries, frameworks, and everything are like, they're developed in such a good way that you can really enjoy when you're developing this kind of stuff. A lot of stuff is already, you know, there out of the box. You don't need to invent something new just to achieve something. And like the most of the features that you have is already enough to achieve whatever you want.
Is it expensive?
Expensive means what kind of way?
I mean, we all know that Apache Kafka is open source, but
I mean, you have commercial versions and stuff like Confluent has its own like whole environment built around Kafka and stuff like that. But honestly, it's not requirement. You can always achieve some different kind of stuff without it. And like I said, a lot of stuff, it has a huge support on the network and everything. Mm-hmm. Like if you have some kind of issue, community is huge. Like you will always find some kind of solution that's going to be available to you without needing to probably pay something and stuff like that.
You like it?
Yeah,
you like
I really enjoy it. Like I said, this was the first thing for me when I started to work in Syntio, and from there I just realized how important is the messaging platform and what the whole ecosystem built around it is like huge. Yeah. And all the other services and stuff like that, they already have support for this kind of stuff most of the times, and you just need to decide what you want to do and just simply write it down in the code and leave it to run and see the stuff happening.
Yeah, super. I mean, I can just confirm from architectural standpoint, this is something that we started doing from the very beginning. Data integrations, point to point was out of the question immediately. And today we don't even, I know that when we are creating a solution design.
Yeah, we always take account messaging platform and which one is the best fit for different case scenario. I mean, when you take in consideration the money, the time, everything, basically, it's just more beneficial to use it, and you will probably assign some additional resources, but it will save you a lot of trouble and a lot of time and probably a lot of money later on.
Yeah, huge.
Now, funny enough, actually, I mean, we've talked about point-to-point protocols a lot on this one, and actually in most of the companies I've worked in, point-to-point protocol, point-to-point integrations generally are very low usage. And actually much more common is point-to-point to point to point.
Yeah, sure, sure.
Because you have something stat in the middle. You're not going directly between two systems. You're going via an integration platform. And that just adds another layer of complexity for me. And another delay and another area where you have to make sure that, well, I've made a change to this source system and now I have to actually update several connections.
You know, dependencies are huge and you know, it's like problem solving, but by just pushing it aside. It's not actually solving problems. It just creates more bigger problems.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that sort of additional layers of complexity within an organization, in some cases, are just absolutely huge.
Yeah.
And for me, that's the biggest benefit of a message broker. It's not even, you know, the fact that technically it's doing something better and faster and everything else. It's the removal of those dependencies.
Exactly. Fully agree.
Because that costs way more than, you know, the complexity in running a system, that they do say that only sort of 5-10% of the cost of software is the creation of it, and the balance is the looking after it afterwards. And I know that, you know, the DOJ in the US has a budget of about $12 billion a year for technology, and only a small fraction of that is spent on new and improving. Most of it's spent on maintaining. And I would imagine a lot of that is dependency management.
Yes, maintenance and operations.
I would say there is no doubt that these messaging platforms are basically the future of the whole, this kind of stuff that's connected with the big data and stuff like that. I believe that we were just, we just waited for the good solution that's going to be this kind of scalable, reliable and fault tolerant in such a way that we can use it with, you know, insurance that it's gonna work.
Yeah. Very, very cool. Very cool. So I think we've done message platforms.
Yes.
We'll move on and we'll see you guys again next week. Thank you very much. Thank you, Tomo. Thank you, Zeko.
Thanks, Jason.
For your contribution today.
Yeah. Thank you for having us.
Yeah. No worries. And we'll see you next time. Thanks, everyone. Yeah.
Thank you.
Bye, everyone.